This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 104. Amanda.
Whoa.
It's time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda. She is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're so grateful that you've joined us. Check us out at Facebook at Rock on the Money and the website at rockonthemoney.com. Hi.
Hi. Wow, you're starting to sound like a boy going through puberty without your voice here.
I know. My voice does crack every now and then. It's blame Facebook for that. But
yeah, I warned you months ago that Dr. Fauci went through the same thing because he was using his voice too much. And then he had to have surgery on his, you know, throat. I know.
And what people don't know is I just finished, before we recorded this, 6 hours of streaming. And I do talk nonstop for 6 hours. And now I'm doing this. So sometimes my voice comes across really worn out in these podcasts lately. So,
yes. Yeah. Good thing I'm here to sound not worn out.
Well, I'm going to leave all the questions to you. I'll just read them and then you can answer them. How about that?
Great.
The first one's super easy because we both know the answer.
So obviously we're doing social media questions this episode.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Amanda. Hey, what are we doing this podcast today?
Yeah, so we got six social media questions today.
Yes, there we go. All right, question number one. Let's get right into it. You ready? Mm-hmm. I'm in my 20s. I wish I was in my 20s. Then hold on a second. Hold on. You know what? Before I get this question, just real quick, I saw this on Facebook last night. It's so true. The 21-year-olds now, in my opinion, are not having the same amount of fun that we had when we were in our 20s.
Okay. I don't want to be in my 20s again. They were rough. I'd rather be in my 30s.
Yeah. Well,
as soon as I turn 40, suddenly I feel like my eyes are tired. I'm seeing wrinkles and bags. I'm desperate to cling on to my youth. So now I'm like taking collagen supplements and I've got all sorts of potions and lotions, just trying to cling to what I've got left.
I'm just glad I grew up in a time period when, I was not young in high school or college where I had social media. Yeah. I am so glad I did not have all that going on.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go online in the early 80s, but trust me, I had nobody to email because, well, nobody had email. I had email, but nobody would email me. Now I wish I don't have email, but anyway. Okay, I'm in my 20s. Should I take out all of my 401k to get closer to completing baby step two? And baby step two, as we know, is paying off all of your debts, excluding your mortgage.
Right. So first of all, congrats to having a 401k when you're in your 20s.
Absolutely. You are.
Like, that's super impressive.
That's rare, actually.
Yeah, very impressive. Yeah. And then to answer the question, Craig, I'm going to give you the prompt because this is your statement.
Hold on. I have a megaphone right here. Hold on.
No, don't touch your 401k.
There you go.
Don't touch your 401k ever.
Don't touch
ever,
your 401k.
Unless it's a dire emergency.
And I do have empathy for people that want to do this. I mean, I know we always come out and say no, right? Yeah. I do have empathy because it to you, you're just looking at this debt and I have this bucket of money sitting there and like, wow, if I just take this bucket and apply it to that debt, I can just make it go away and then I'll start. The problem with that is that 401k you've already worked on. If you keep touching it, if you keep using it, what really makes that 401k turn into a million is the compounding over time. If you keep removing it, You're messing up the basic math of compounding. Compounding, Amanda, is so powerful. And people just don't. And because it's a long-term thing that works, they don't understand what they're messing up. And they'll never know what it could have been.
So let's use a real example here.
Sure.
let's say you had $10,000 in your 401k at the start of 2020. Right. I'm sorry, 2019. Let's go back 2 years.
Sure.
At the start of 2019, so $10,000, and you put it all in an S&P 500 index like we suggest, right?
Perfect, perfect.
So in 2019, the S&P 500 index was a rate of return of what, 30, 31%?
Yep, yep.
So now that would have given us...
Now you're at $13,100.
Yeah, so let's say $13,100.
Let me just point out, we're doing rough math because actually it should be higher than that because you got little bits of that 31% over that time. And that little bit was compounding over on itself. So you're actually higher than that. We're just using rough math. It should actually be $15,000. Does that make sense?
So let's just do simple. Even if you didn't contribute a dollar more,
right?
Which you probably are. So let's say you didn't contribute anything more than you had at the start of 2019, $10,000. Even without a single dollar of contribution, you made $3,100.
Right.
Okay. So then 2020 comes along. And let's assume still you haven't added another dollar, but you should be, right? But even if you don't, because you're paying off your debt and you're not supposed to be contributing to your retirement fund until you have your debt paid off. So not a dollar more. So the S&P 500 in 2020 then had a total rate of return of just over 18%. So for simplicity, let's say 18%.
Okay.
Which, you know, we always say, You should plan on a rate of return between 8 and 12%. So 18% is still astronomical.
Phenomenal.
I mean, we're not going to have 30% returns every year.
No.
So let's get out our handy little calculator here.
Uh-oh.
13,100 times 18% is another 2,358.
Okay.
So you just made that in addition to your 13,100.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have $15,458.
Whoa!
So in the span of 2 years without making any more contributions, you have more than a 50% return. You made $5,458.
That's crazy. And that's not typical. That right. And no one could have predicted any of this, but over time, that's what happens. You have good years, you have bad years.
So that's what happens when you don't touch it and you just leave it in a simple index fund.
Right.
So don't touch it. So you could have lost $5,458 if you had borrowed from your 401k to pay off your debt.
And if you borrowed, you have to pay it back. And you can't put more in it until you're done putting it back. And if you don't pay it all back, you got to pay taxes on it later during the pandemic.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, guys, we're so adamant about this because I've already lived through all that. And I never touched my account through that time, even though I wanted to. I wanted to buy cars. I have empathy for it. But because I did not, if you could see my account right now, and to this day, we've said this multiple times, Amanda, you have said it, I've said it. What I actually put in and what I have now is unbelievable. Unless you see it, it's hard to believe it can happen. I'm telling you, Google it. Everybody will tell you, don't touch it. Compounding is like the eighth wonder of the world. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. So all of that to say, don't touch your 401k.
Yeah.
And it seems like the easy way out. So you actually need to feel the pain of digging yourself out of debt
so that you don't
make that mistake again.
There you go. Because if you have any
other savings accounts, then yes, you should absolutely empty out those savings accounts to pay off your debt.
While keeping your
$1,000 emergency fund.
Yep. Empty out every other account other than retirement accounts, savings, all that. Sell stuff, everything. That's how you get rid of baby step two. Feel the pain of it because you'll remember the pain of it so you don't do it again. And you stay out of debt. What do they say about money? It's 90% psychological, 10% mechanical, something like that.
All right. Question two.
It seems like every 401k plan has the target date funds. My work plan is heavy on them. Are those good funds?
Yeah, every work plan's heavy on them because those are the defaults. So if you do absolutely nothing except, when you get hired, you fill out paperwork and you allocate a certain percentage to go to your retirement fund and you do nothing else, it's just going to automatically put you in the target date for what it anticipates would be your retirement year. Those funds generally do not perform as well as the S&P 500 index fund. And in fact, they perform much more poorly than the S&P 500 index fund. I don't know of a single target date fund that performs even as well or as one. Just look at the numbers. It doesn't, not a single one performs as well as the S&P 500 index fund on a regular basis.
And the reason for that, Amanda, is because they have a mix of bonds and stock funds. It has a mixture of funds that they're trying to be a little more conservative. And because of that, I don't invest in anything that has bonds in it. I'm zero bonds. I am 100% American stock funds or stocks. 100%. I don't do international and all that stuff. And that is what the S&P 500 index does. It's the 500 best companies. It does generally always outperform all those target date funds. So.
Now, that being said, if you're 5 to 10 years within retirement, then I'm okay with you picking your target date fund because, you have to start limiting your risk because, again, the S&P 500 index on average does well over time. Mm-hmm. But there are going to be some bad years and you can't really afford to have a bad year right before you retire.
No, because you need that money. And that's where they start bringing in the bonds and makes it less volatile because you're going to need that money if you generally have enough to retire because retirement is not a date. It's an amount.
Right.
And we need to protect that money. But you still got to have your foot in the pool of stocks and bonds. So you still have to be somewhat in the stock market at the same time. Otherwise, you'll run out of money over the time of your retirement.
Yeah.
Question number three, Amanda.
Yes.
What's everyone's thought on having multiple bank accounts and nicknaming them instead of having actual envelopes, meaning the envelope system? I'm going to give this to you because you did a whole thing about this.
Yeah, this seems overly complicated to me.
Yeah, it does. I think they're making it tougher. I think they're afraid of having the envelope and the money sitting there on their kitchen counter or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I find it overly complicated. Now, one thing that maybe might work for you are prepaid cards. Like gift cards that you reload. So that might work for you. But multiple accounts, that just seems like a nightmare to me.
I wonder if this is because of COVID. Everyone's sitting at home and you can't really use cash as much right now.
Yeah. So then that makes sense. But like when I started the envelope system, I immediately realized that it didn't work for gas purchases because, the pay at the pump, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not leaving my car.
Yeah.
Because then I want Slurpee when I go inside. I don't know.
Well, and especially nowadays, you can't just pump and then pay. You have to go prepay and then pump. And that means you have to guess how much you need to fill your tank.
It's all those drive-offs and it's to prevent that stuff. Yeah. So
what I did is I just, every time I got paid, the amount that I had allocated for gas purchases, I just purchased gas cards for it, like gift cards.
Nice.
So I think that is one option if you're just not wanting to carry cash or spend cash or touch cash right now because of COVID, then I would go with the prepaid cards. You can write the name of your category right on the card in Sharpie if you're using a generic Visa or American Express.
Gotcha. I wonder if they're with Ally or one of these online banks because Ally will let you do what they're saying up to 10 accounts. You can make buckets. Have your account.
Yeah, I mean, if you're super organized and you can handle it, that's fine. But generally speaking, most people who are having trouble with their budget aren't super organized to handle multiple bank accounts.
Yeah, sure.
At least not at the beginning. It's not to say everyone can get there, right? Like, so I'm not trying to badmouth everyone because everyone starts out in a certain place. We got to meet us where we are. So if you can get there, fine. I just wouldn't overcomplicate things. Like, people, this is simple.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. And then we got three more questions coming up. And what do we have? We have something, a 14-year-old son who has $1,200 in his savings.
All right.
Ooh. All right. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
there, rock stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rock on the Money with Amanda and Craig. Don't forget to check out our website, rockonthemoney.com, and our Facebook group and Facebook page, facebook.com/rockonthemoney. I know that was hard to figure out, but if you just go to Facebook, type in Rock on the Money, comes up with Amanda's beautiful face. Naikai is sitting back in the shadows, and we know who the brains of the operation is. Don't let the blonde hair fool you. It's not blonde.
Well, it's not blonde,
it?
Right?
No, it's
now.
Not blonde. It's red. Hey, we got 3 more questions.
Okay.
Here we go. Are others getting some serious return rates on their Roth IRA? The funds that I'm in have a 30-year average of 11%, which is fairly good from what I've seen. Mind you, the account is young, and I'm not complaining about the return rate. Just wondering if anyone else is getting these results this year.
Okay, so this is an easy one because you heard our example in question one on what the S&P 500 has been doing over the last 2 years. So 11% is okay. Normally it would be great, but in the past 2 years, this is not great because S&P 500 in 2019 was a 30% return. Last year, 2020, it was an 18% or so return. Yeah. And you're performing significantly worse than that. So I don't think it's great. Look at what you're invested in and you're losing a lot of money.
Yeah. And if you had just done the S&P 500, like you said earlier, it would have been 18.4.
Yeah, I suspect you're probably in some target date fund.
And just a reminder, usually 20 to 30% of all mutual funds, they're the ones that beat the S&P 500, which means 70% of all these mutual funds out there cannot beat a simple index fund. So that's why we have everybody start with that. If you went to a casino, Amanda, and you have a table where you have a 70% chance of winning.
Of losing, really, in this case.
Right. Yeah. What table would you go to? I'd go to the one that has the better odds of winning. I go to the S&P 500 index.
Right.
Over time, it beats 70% of the other funds out there. And it's so simple. And there's no cost, virtually no cost. But people want Bitcoin, Amanda.
And then you see these stories of these people who are forgetting their password to their Bitcoin wallet and have just lost like $270 million.
And there's nothing they can do about it.
Nope. Or that guy who accidentally threw his hard drive away.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't understand how those keys work.
Mm-hmm. Bitcoin's complicated. Anyway, question 5.
I kind of wish I had a Bitcoin now, but hindsight is what. I still don't believe in it, which is weird. But number 5, I wanted to set up a Roth IRA. Do you recommend anyone?
Sure. No, does anyone recommend anyone? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand.
I think they're wondering, where do I go to set it up is the way I read that. Wait. So there's 3 companies that we prefer because they're low cost, they're large, very large, and they really appear to be for the consumer and the investor without all the extra fees and all that stuff that kind of slip in there. It's Fidelity, Schwab, and Vanguard. Vanguard's my favorite. They're very pro-consumer. They've always been that way since they created. Doesn't mean... I also have accounts at Schwab. You have an account at Schwab, right?
Yes, I have my accounts with Schwab.
And they've all been great with me. Every time I email them, they're very helpful. They don't push anything on me, none of that stuff. And it's simple. It works on your phone. And
They've got a great app on their phone. Fidelity, I have my 401k with Fidelity. And they're also great, very consumer friendly. So those are the three we recommend. Yep. Whichever one, I mean, it's a personal preference, whichever one you want to go with and like.
Yeah, and we don't get anything from those companies. Those historically been the low cost providers out there without the financial advisors and all that stuff. But they do have an advisory service that is dirt cheap compared to all these other guys out there at only 0.3%, which is low, Amanda. I have no problem going to someone going to Vanguard or Schwab. If you want to use Vanguard advisory services, 0.3%. That's nothing compared to these other guys that charge 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%. And then, you know, once you got it set up, Amanda, you can just like discontinue it and just run with it. So, but again, the S&P 500 index funds, all three of these have zero cost funds in that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, number six. Wow. We blew through these questions, didn't we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a good one though. I like this. Please help. My son is 14 and has $1,200 in savings. What would be the best way for him to invest it? Well, I think we just answered that.
Yeah.
But he can't do an IRA.
Sort of.
Yeah, he can't do an IRA, but good.
Right. So he's underage, so he's not really allowed to invest anything in his own name. So you're going to have to set up an account as a guardian. And it depends on what he's saving for. So if it's for college, then my recommendation is to open a 529 account, and that's for educational expenses. And within that 529, you select certain funds or allocate the funds. If you don't, again, they're going to put you in basically a target date fund for the date that they expect him to start college. So you can make your selections, or you can just do nothing and it'll put you in a target date type fund for the date he's expected to start his post high school education. Now, those are great accounts because you can use it for any qualified educational expenses. So it works for college, it works for trade schools, it works for technical colleges, universities, any of that. So books, tuition, you'll have to check the IRS guidelines, but it's very generous on what's considered a qualified educational expense. You don't pay taxes on those gains so long as you use it for a qualified educational expense.
Right.
And if for some reason he ends up not using it for education, the money's not lost. You can still pull it out. You just have to pay the taxes and fees then.
Yep. It's like a traditional.
On the gains. Yep, you can always pull out your original investment amount with no taxes or fees.
There you go.
So that's for college. Otherwise, the other option, I personally would just keep it in a savings account, otherwise a high yield savings account. But, you know, if you are interested in investing, you can always set up another guardian type account for mutual funds. Here's what's important to understand. He cannot open a Roth IRA or any type of IRA unless he has earned income for the year.
Right. And he is 14, and that's usually when you get work permits. So, but he has to be working with a social security number, with a real paycheck.
With a real paycheck and filing real income tax returns.
If he's doing anything with you, you have to attend on an item. So, that was awesome.
All right.
Six quickies. All right. Thank you, Amanda.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time.
All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.